بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. It is the grace of Allah Ta'ala that last week Friday we also recited Surah Kahf. Again this Friday we read Surah Kahf. Only the fazl of Allah Ta'ala that he made it possible. Today is the 19th, isn't it? 19th Rabi. I'm sorry, not last week, the week before last. Week before last, we read Surah Kahf, and now the third week, third Juma, we are reading Surah Kahf again. So the Kahf has got its own fazilat. One is the one who recites this surah, Allah Ta'ala guards him against all fitnas. For at least 1 week he is secured. Apart from that, Allah Ta'ala blesses him with a light. That light will be helpful to him on the day of Qiyamah. Then the surah has got certain great lessons. One is the incident of the people of the cave. If awal fityatu ilal kahfi faqalu rabbana. So the Quran actually speaks about a group of youth. It must be that Allah Ta'ala really likes the ibadat of a youngster. Young people, young means those that are beneath, below 35, 36, less than that. So Allah Ta'ala loves their ibadat. Those that are above, not to say that Allah doesn't love their ibadat, but the ibadat of those that are younger, it's even greater. Because all the energy is in you, all the attractions, and people will say to you that live life till its fullest, right? You are full, so live life to its fullest. So everybody is seeing you the same. But with all that you say, no, I prefer Allah Ta'ala. So those that are below 35, 38, or even 40, say, they will be called youth. Right? Get as much as possible, get many people as possible into the group of youth, so that there will be so many more people that will come under the scope of the love of Allah Ta'ala. Are they only 30? Right? I'm sure Bilal Isaac won't come inside that. So make it 40, so as much as possible, many as possible, Allah Ta'ala bless them with His special mercy. So He loves you, Allah Pak loves them. Really. There must be a reason why Allah Pak said, إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا. Right? Allah Pak could have said, إِنَّهُمْ رَهْتٌ آمَنُوا. It's a group, of believers. So, إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا. They were a group, of youngsters. So Allah Pak loves you. Imagine. He made a special mention of you. So the one thing is this, that it's a group of youth, right? This are some of the points of tafsir I'm speaking. Second thing is this, that they were also in a fitna position. Right? The whole kingdom, the whole land is against them. Now, in this day and age, wherever you are, everything is against you. One is, alright, the opposition that you get at the hukumat level, the government level. And one is the fitnas that are around you. Right? The type of evil that is around you. You may say it's unavoidable. Woman, what cell phone, what all these fitnas that are around you. And it becomes like practically impossible to avoid them. And then to you say, no, I abandon, I throw these things here for the love of Allah Ta'ala. Those people have retired to the cave and you retired to the masjid. Can you see the similarities? They retired for their own protection. إِنَّهُمْ إِنْ يَظْهَرُوا عَلَيْكُمْ يَرْجُمُوكُمْ أَوْ يُعِيدُوكُمْ. Because it is fitnas, if they get hold of you, they will bring you back to that. They will make the demand that you better toe the line with us. Or يُعِيدُوكُمْ فِي مِلَّتِهِمْ. They will really get you back onto their own way. So the fitnas will have the better over you. So you have taken Allah's protection. Allah, I can't manage these things here. I can't face up to these challenges of the fitnas. So you take care of me. I come and retire at your house. So retiring at the house of Allah Ta'ala with the frame of mind that I can't manage to cope with those fitnas that are around. So Allah Ta'ala, I have come to seek asylum at your place. So presently we've got refugee status. The status, isn't it? What status we got? Refugee status. Don't you see they give status, all countries give refugee status. People coming from Somalia and all problems outside, they come and they will give them a refugee status. They'll embrace them. So we are similar in that respect, aren't we? Allah, we can't manage that side. We want your refugee status. So we will come in, we will give in that application form to Allah, we want refugee status. So Allah will grant it to you. You come and live at my place. I will give you the refugee status. Right? إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَىٰ. The second thing that you learn in this surah, that in the time of fitna, then come to the house of Allah Ta'ala, take one corner and just cry to Allah Ta'ala. Right? You cry to Allah Ta'ala that I can't look after myself, Allah, you take care of me. The environment is against me, the people are against me, friends are against me. So Allah Ta'ala, the only asylum I've got, only refuge, recourse I've got is yourself, O Allah Ta'ala. If I look into the business world, that is hostile. If I look into the group of friends, they are hostile and aggressive. If I look into the environment, that is aggressive and hostile. So the only recourse I've got is your house, Allah Ta'ala. It's the only place. The houses, masjids, are the sitting places of the Anbiya. They are the sitting places of the Awliya. Like you have a lounge to sit, yeah? Sitting room you call it. Right? So the sitting place of the Anbiya is the masjid. Maymunun, maymunun ahluha. The masjids are such, they are full of blessings. And the people that frequent the masjid, they also full of blessings. Sit in the masjid, you are a blessed man. Mahfuzun, mahfuzun ahluha. The homes of Allah Ta'ala, houses of Allah Ta'ala, masjids, they are guarded. So the people that sit in the masjid, they also are guarded against fitna, against a lot of problems, provided you sit correctly, not that sit in the masjid and chit-chat and talk and all that, no. Sit in the right way. Don't get into any unnecessary discussion, talk, conversation. And you are guarded, and the house of Allah Ta'ala will guard you, will take care of you. Whom fi ibadillah, fi ibadatillah. They, those people that are in the masjid, they are in ibadat. Wallahu mi wara'ihim. And Allah Pak is taking care of all their needs. Your wife, your children, and all that. You retired here, so Allah will say, I will not only give you a refugee status, but those you have left behind, I will take care of them as well. But you really turn your focus to me on half-half. Not half-half, what? Not half-half, half here and half in Grey Town, no. Here, all the way. Right. So, the second aspect is you seek refuge at the time of fitna, at the time of corruption, no other recourse. Recourse, if there is any, then the house of Allah Ta'ala. The third thing is لا تماري فيهم إلا مراء ظاهرا. Now, when the townspeople discovered this people here, this people of the cave, then they began to have a big conference. You know, we got that boy working in the house, poor chap. So one day we asked him to take the garbage out, you know. So he used the back entrance to take the back garbage out. So I asked him, but why didn't you take the front entrance? Why to go right round? So I had 2-3 guests there, and they were discussing something, whatever it was. So this person, sometimes the words he used is very good choice word he used. He said, now you people were having a very big conference there. So I couldn't. I said, ordinary garden boy. Said, you people are having a very big conference there, so I couldn't use this entrance here, I used the back entrance. Right. So Allah Pak is saying, لَا تُمَارِ فِيهِمْ إِلَّا مِرَاءً ظَاهِرًا. Now they're making an issue of nothing. The issue is now, how many people were there in the cave? 5 people, 3 people, 7 people. So this is not a relevant issue. What Allah Pak is saying? لَا تُمَارِ فِيهِمْ إِلَّا مِرَاءً ظَاهِرًا. If you're discussing, then just on the surface, don't get deep into this. You're not going to get anything out of it. If there were 3 people or 5 people, what are you going to get out of it? If you discovered, all right, there are 5 people, is that going to pay your rent in any way? Are you going to make any dini progress? Are you going to get more sawab? Nothing. So why worry about it? So don't discuss these things that are not relevant, not of any benefit, not of any good to you. Forget, don't worry about it. لَا تُمَارِ فِيهِمْ إِلَّا مِرَاءً ظَاهِرًا. Like I often say, people bring up issues not relevant, doesn't concern them. They ask, what was the length of the boat of Nuh alayhi salam? What was the length? Now, how does it benefit your deen? And they ask, how many floors was it? 3 floors and... How many floors was it? But does it benefit your deen? And then, which floor was the men living and which floor was the women were living? Now, all these things here doesn't concern you. Why are you worried about it? Just, they were saved in the ship. Now, how Allah designed it and how Nuh alayhi salam designed it, that Allah Pak knows. Allah Pak says that وَسْنَعِ الْفُلْكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا وَحْنِ. We'll guide you how you must do it. Finish, khalas, end of the story now. Why must you get into the 90 degrees? You want to know his ship and all that. It's meant, kya aapka kya rakha hua hai? If you discover it, what do you get out of it? Say for example, you got Nuh alayhi salam's ship now. So how does it benefit you? In any way, does it benefit you? No, why discuss these things? Don't get into these things. This is now the modern day science, right? You know this. What they call it, archaeologist, what? Archaeologist. Archaeologist, yeah. Now they dig here, what happened here, amphitheater, what? Is there kya fayda hoga? What's going to happen? What you going to get? Leave for these madmen. So the dunya is not complete without madmen. Some people have to be mad, some clowns. Then the world will be complete. So let them do this. This side of it is mad things, let them do it. You don't become mad as well. There's enough people to make the world colourful. You don't need additional colour. فَلَا تُمَارِ فِيهِمْ إِلَّا مِرَاءً ظَاهِرًا وَلَا تَسْتَفْتِ فِيهِمْ مِنْ أَحَدًا. That's the third lesson, right? سيقولون ثلاثة رابعهم كلبهم كلبهم باسط ذراعيه بالوسيد. Right. So now, what a great lesson in this verse. كلبهم باسط ذراعيه بالوسيد. This dog, right? It's napak. Dog touch you, don't you say napak? Let's go wash the place. You won't wear that and read namaz. You won't keep it inside the house because it is napak, right? Don't you do that? You know, the farishtas won't be there with his dog and all that. So we all know about it. Farishtas are not there. It's napak, najis. You don't keep it. If you drink something, you throw it away. But this napak thing, that thing went and joined the spies group of youth. Right? It joined them, went to the cave with them. So Allah Ta'ala makes a mention of this dog, this napak thing, because of it joining the company of the righteous. So we are Napak, right? We are wrong. We are evil. We don't do the things how Allah Pak wants us to do it. We can't claim to be pious and all that, right? But at least we are attempting to try and join the group of the righteous, right? Like Allah Ta'ala blessed the dog, that from that time, it was about before Isa alayhi salam, before Rasulullah sometime, say about 500 years or so before Rasul sometime, till the day of Qiyamah, whoever is reading the Quran Sharif will have to speak about this dog. Can you imagine? How that he got chucked in? Yeah? How this dog got thrown in, at about 500 years before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, till the day of Qiyamah, anybody is going to read the Quran, his Quran Sharif won't be complete if he doesn't speak about the dog of the cave, people of the cave. Why? The dog joined the group of the pious. So it was a lesson for us. Alright, we are napak, we are dirty, everything, right? But we are endeavoring, O Allah Ta'ala, to be with the pious. To be with the good people, we're trying to work ourselves in that direction. So like Allah Ta'ala threw the dog into the mercy on account of its association with the right, Allah Ta'ala will definitely throw us into His mercy, inshallah. Right? He will definitely, but we endeavor to be always with the pious, to be with the pious, think like them, behave like them, conduct ourselves with them, how much we can. Allah Ta'ala will keep us. If the dog Allah Ta'ala could keep it till the day of Qiyamah, won't He keep us in Jannat also, inshallah. So we endeavor to be like them, to conduct ourselves like them, to behave like them, to be in their company. We like that company, understand? What a great thing. What a great lesson we learn from here. فَلَا تُمَارِ فِيهِمْ. Then, لَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا. Nabi Sallam had forgotten to say, inshallah. They asked him about the incident of the cave, and Nabi Sallam had forgotten to say inshallah, and there was a small delay in the coming of the wahi. So Allah Ta'ala says, if you want to do something for the future, then you must say inshallah. Don't leave out inshallah. One person was passing the market, you see, passing the shop, going to the market. So that shopkeeper asked him, "Bhai, tum kaha ja rahe? Where are you going to?" "No, I'm going to the horse market to buy a horse." So the shopkeeper tells him, "I say inshallah at least." So he says, "Bhai, what's the need to say inshallah? I got the mere paas paise maujood, I got money, and I'm going in that direction. It's not something that it's in suspense. I'm sure I'm going to buy that horse." Anyway, the shopkeeper didn't argue with him. So he wants to say inshallah. This person, he is reluctant to say inshallah. He says, "No, I'm sure, I'm going to buy it. I know I'm going to buy it. I got the money in my pocket. See, I got the money here." Anyway, it was the evening, this man is returning from the horse market. In India, you have horse market, vegetable market. You got the horse market, it's returning. So that shopkeeper is asking, "Bhai, how you bought that horse after that?" So he's saying, "Now, inshallah, I went to the horse market. Inshallah, I saw a very, very good horse. Inshallah, then I looked for the money in my pocket. Then, inshallah, my pocket was totally cut off, all the money was stolen. Then, inshallah, I lost all the money. Inshallah, now I'm coming back." Where he was not supposed to add that inshallah, he's adding that inshallah. That time, simple thing was to say inshallah, but I was so proud of himself, so confident, that he forgot to say that inshallah. He didn't want to say inshallah. And now, when he lost that money, now where he's not supposed to put that inshallah, he's putting inshallah. Everywhere and anyway, he's putting inshallah. So that inshallah is a way to secure things. Inshallah, mashallah. All these things are ways to secure. Do something, say inshallah, mashallah, la quwwata illa billah. These are ways to secure whatever good we have got, whatever treasures, whatever fortune we have got, the way to secure it and protect it and guard it, to say mashallah, it's from Allah Pak. It is only by the will of Allah Pak that I got this. It's not my own, it is His grace, it is His favor. Whether it is examination, whether it's namaz, whether it's Tarawih, whether it is your completion and your success at the examination, you got a degree, you got a master's, whatever it was, you got a good job, so say mashallah, got a business, whatever came your way, say Allah Ta'ala, from Allah Pak. So this is the fourth lesson we learn, that any good thing or anything that we're intending, we say inshallah. Right? In other words, it is to draw the attention of the slave to Allah Ta'ala. The princess got sick, you see. So the king, what money he's short of. So first he employed the doctors. Doctors failed. Then he hospitalized her. And they put her to a blood test and urine test and 101 different type of test. Not saying hello, nothing is happening. This is how people normally behave. First they go to the doctor, then hospital. Not working, said all. Bahar ka asar hai. Someone did something, someone tricked him. So he employed all the molanas to make all dam and water and taweez and everything. Not working. Three levels, he finished the three levels. Doctor's level, hospital level, taweez level. All exhausted. Then it strikes him, by, I did these three levels, I didn't do the fourth level. The fourth level is to cry to Allah Ta'ala. So now king, tahajjud time now, he says, now, my only daughter I got, one princess I've got. And how dark will the world be without my daughter? So he tried every level, and that struck him now, that I didn't ask Allah Ta'ala the way I'm supposed to ask him. I just asked him by the way. Going to the doctor, so by the way, I asked Allah Ta'ala. But let me make a concerted effort, let me ask him properly. So he went to the masjid early in the morning, and he's crying away. Now Allah Pak was waiting for this, that he must cry. Mera banda, mere samne sar jhukaye, roye. He must lower himself and cry to me. I'm waiting for this. This occasion I'm waiting for. And then he comes back to the palace and he sees now this recovery, 70%, 80%, and then 100% recovery. So that was the missing link. The missing thing was that he didn't employ the help of Allah Ta'ala. He didn't cry to Allah Ta'ala. He did everything else, doctor, hospital, taweez, everything he did. But he didn't do this. What he was supposed to do, he didn't do it. When he did it, Allah showed him, oh, you did this, so I give it to you. No? So, this inshallah is teaching us that we link ourselves with Allah Pak. We join ourselves, we ask Allah Pak, beg from him. One person came to Mustafa Hamdali, and he complains, mera bachcha raat ko bahut rota hai. Got a small son, child, 6 months, 7 months. And he cries too much at night. So Musa told him that pehle zamane mein, in the early zamanas, what used to happen, that people used to get up for tahajjud, midnight, you know, and they should cry to Allah Ta'ala. But now nobody is crying. So the child has to do the crying. Before, people are standing up and crying to Allah Ta'ala. Now, nobody is crying in the house. So the mercy of Allah Ta'ala has to be drawn to the people of the world. So you're not doing it, it's the child is doing it. So cry to Allah Ta'ala. In this etiquette, what we need to learn is to cry to Allah Ta'ala, beg from Allah Pak. Allah Pak loves that when you cry. Allah Pak shows in this, just before Surah Kahf also, you know, the people of the past, إِذَا يُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ, and when the verses of the Quran, verses of the holy books are read to them, then they fall down in prostration, crying to Allah Ta'ala. Don't be boastful of what you're doing. Rather, cry to Allah Ta'ala. Without your grace, I can't do anything. It's your grace that's enabling me to do it. But like it is your grace that enabled me to do it, would your grace accept this as well? Like it is your grace that made me do this, come to the masjid, cry and pray to you and worship you. And I need an additional favor from Allah Ta'ala that you accept this as well. Right? So this is that other lesson that we learn. وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Then, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتِ. وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتِ is another lesson. What's that lesson? That sometimes, because of situations, circumstances, you forget. you forget and you do something that's not appropriate, right? Rebirth or vain talks, or suddenly you got into a company and you're looking at television, or some wrong thing happened, you know, some girl is in front. You did something that was not right. Then suddenly you came to your senses. So Allah is saying, وَاسْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتَ. When you remember that you have fallen into an error, then get up and remember Allah Ta'ala. Make istighfar, ask Allah Ta'ala forgiveness, remember Him. وَاسْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتَ. Don't become negative, no, after i'tikaf now I fall into this error here. Hey, I look at that girl now. Hey, what I did now, what did I do? So don't go into despondency. You must be sorrowful, right? Grief over the wrong. But then get up and see, try to rectify yourself. Rather than going now, say, why I did this? Etikaf now. All wasted. Don't think like that. That is now shaitanic thought. You made that wrong. Ask Allah Ta'ala to guide you. Ask His forgiveness. And ask Him to help you not to do it again. You beg His forgiveness, resolve, determination, get up and carry on. You travelling to Johannesburg, now you got a puncture, and I say, hey, I bought a new car, I got a puncture now. You keep crying over that puncture, will you reach Johannesburg? Now the positive thing is, now get up, change the tyre, if you don't have a tyre, then go to the workshop or something, change the tyre, and carry on your road. Now you keep crying about it, you're going to delay your journey. So yes, you must be sorrowful that you didn't drive correctly, or you didn't keep the spare, etc., that you had to take the additional route now. Right? So that you must be sorry about, but now you can't just sit down there and get bogged down and don't move, don't progress. You need to get to Johannesburg on time. So, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتَ وَقُلْ عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَهْدِيَنِ رَبِّي لِأَقْرَبَ مِنْ هَذَا رَشَدًا. And have hope in Allah. You made a mistake one time, next time you'll be more careful, and you'll try and look after yourself. You'll be cautious, you'll be vigilant, you'll be cautious. You won't fall into this problem like you're falling in now. Understand? These are some of the lessons that you learn in Surah Kaf. Allah Ta'ala Tawfiq Naseeb.